This morning, and yes, I am. I'm going to preach in my bare feet because this is part of my sermon. It's called Beautiful Feet, and I've already read the first verse, but we're going to go back and look at that. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Starting in verse 15. Now, I'm going to jump around a little bit here in chapter 10 in Romans. But it says in verse 15, "How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good tidings." Now, Paul was writing this letter to the Roman church. And as he wrote this letter, he came to a point in it where he was worried about the Israelites, the nation he had come from. And if you read further in Romans chapter 10, you'll kind of see that towards the end. But he said, how can people know who Jesus Christ is unless someone goes and tells them? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel, who go out and let people know who Jesus is. Let me back up a little bit. To verse 11. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between the Jews and the Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is the gospel. That is the good news. That is what happy feet are to be taking out. Beautiful feet. And as we read on further, Paul sets up sort of a question and answer thing in his letter. He says, how then will they call on him whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him who they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How wonderful. Deja vu. This happened to me a couple of weeks ago. My sermon notes went flying across the field. Now it's happening inside the church here. That's okay. I can refetch them. I'll put them under the Bible here so they kind of stay a little bit. A lot of wind going on in here. So as I said, how then shall they call upon Jesus if they don't know who Jesus is? If you go out in our culture right now and you talk to, say, 15 people on the street, and you walk up to a person and you say, do you know who Jesus is, brother?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and you might get 15 different answers. If you would walk up to, say, a Muslim, they would say, oh, he was one of the wonderful prophets, and that's it. Someone might say, oh, Jesus, I hear about him now and then. Isn't he part of a swear word? Happens in our culture, right? So if you walk up to 15 different people, you could get 15 different answers. What Paul is saying here is there needs to be people with beautiful feet that go out and explain just who Jesus is. The gospel, the good news, that he came, that he lived among us, that he was God's son, that he died for our sins, and on the third day he was raised again and sits at the right hand of our Father in heaven. That is the Jesus we know. In our church, there can be no salvation without the gospel. And in order to receive salvation, there must be a head knowledge to say that, yes, there was a Jesus, and he did all these wonderful things. He healed people, and then he did the most wonderful thing of all. He died for my sins. That gets translated down into the heart. and the heart is broken because of the sins. And then the mouth confesses, Jesus is Lord. The mouth calls on Jesus and says, save me, Lord, for I am a sinner. You know, that is our job. That is what we do. God has given us the mandate to go out and tell people about Jesus. Let them know exactly who he is. He's not part of some swear word. He wasn't just a prophet, although he was a prophet. He is the Savior of all mankind. And you have the most precious gift to give to a world. It's more precious than all the gold in the universe. And I'm sure there's a lot out there somewhere. It's more precious than all the diamonds, than all the silver. It's more precious than the biggest house you could have. Because we're dealing with eternal things. That gold's going to pass away. Your house is going to get torn down someday. No matter how hard you take care of it, all your riches are going to go away. They're going to become as dust. That big truck I have out there, that big dually, yeah, it's going to rust away. It's going to end up in a junkyard. No matter how well I take care of it. The only eternal thing that we have on this planet is our soul. Our soul. And there's hundreds of souls around each one of you. Hundreds of souls that are walking towards that precipice. And when they go over the end, which is death, they will end up in hell. You have the good news. Go out and share it. Let God say, Root, you have beautiful feet. Yes, you do. You have beautiful feet. There's many of us in here who do share the good news. You have beautiful feet. Yes. Beautiful feet. And I want to tell you a little secret. And it's happened to me a lot. When you're going to that person, how do you walk? Your toes are going front, okay? Not the heels. You don't see the heels. Like when I walk away from you, you can see my heels, right? God is already there. He sees your toes coming of those beautiful feet. And he's preparing a door to open. So that when you get there and you start talking to whoever that individual might be and that door opens a little bit and you perceive it in your spirit, put your happy feet on. Oh yeah, happy feet. Because the door is open and you can give something to someone. It is so wonderful to be in that position, in that moment. In that little moment when you see the door open and the Holy Spirit starts talking to your spirit and you're interacting with that person, and before you know it, things are happening that you never thought was going to happen. Things are coming out of your mouth you didn't know you were going to say. Things are coming out of their mouth that you didn't know they were going to say. And you have this dialogue. It's going back and forth, one soul to another, and you're telling them about Jesus, or you're telling them what Jesus has done in your life, what he has done for you, which makes it so much real for them. I mean, if I stood before someone on the street and I just start talking in theological terms and I start babbling out big words and stuff, and oh, yes, and I'm giving them the message, but they're like, what is this guy talking about? But when I get real with them and talk to them, there's a connection. That Holy Spirit is making that connection with that soul, that eternal soul. We're going to drop these feet someday. These are just, you know, made of clay and a little bit of little dust from the earth and maybe a little bit of sock bunnies in there or something between the toes. Okay. But we're spirit. Live in the spirit. You don't know what abundant living is until you live in the spirit. When you start thinking and traveling in the spirit, things start happening all over you. People open up like flowers. Point one of several points I'd like to make. There can be no salvation without the gospel. We have to tell them the good news. People are not going to get saved just sitting aside of you because you're saved. And you don't say a word to them. It doesn't work by osmosis. It doesn't just kind of slide out of you and into them. It's not happening. You got to turn to them and say the gospel. Give them the story. Give them your story. There must be a preacher, okay? I'm a preacher up here and I'm talking to you. But each one of you are preachers. Not maybe getting up in front of a crowd such as I do, and I've been doing it quite a lot in the last couple of weeks, different congregations I've been to, but you are a preacher because you preach the gospel. You live the gospel. Your very lives are preaching to the people around you, to the people you meet, to the people you might hold that door open for someone, or if someone drops something, or if someone needs help. I ran into two little old ladies at Walmart. I seem to be down there too much. I should buy stock in that place. I might be a little more wealthy as far as monetary. But I was down there, and I was getting ready to go into Walmart, and here were these two old ladies, older ladies. I would say, if I was going to guess, they were in their late 70s and 80s. And they had a cart full of those 40-pound bags of salt you put in a water treatment system. You dump it in there, and it kind of back flushes the filter. But they're 40-pound bags. They had like four of them in this cart. They're moving them out to their car. I'm getting out of my truck. I'm going, I just saw an opportunity at least to be nice to someone. I said, ladies, can I help you? Oh, that would be very nice. That would be so wonderful. So I picked up the bags, four of them, and I put them in the trunk. And I asked them, I said, do you have someone to help you get them out at home? Yes, my husband will help you. I hope he was younger than they are. Because 40-pound bags are heavy. Look for opportunities. Preach in action. Love. None can effectively preach unless he have a divine mission. Do you believe that you have a divine mission? Raise your hands. I like people to interact. Divine mission? Yes. Can I say you all have a divine mission? Because you are saved. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And Jesus gave us the Great Commission. He said, go and preach the gospel to all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He said that to all of us. All Christians are supposed to do that. Does that mean that all Christians should be what I call the big E evangelist? No. But you can be a little E evangelist talking to the people around you. Pastor Rich and myself, I would say Brother Bob, our other Brother Bob, they have big E evangelism. They can go talk to lots of people. Now, we do talk one-on-one with people. Pastor talks one-on-one. But Pastor could go before, let's say, 100,000 people and give the message. I could probably do that. I could go before 100,000 people, get up there, and tell them Jesus is Lord. Now, I might be a little nervous. I'm always a little nervous. But that's a good thing. It keeps me humble. It keeps me humble. Point number four, the people you're talking to, all right? When you're giving them the message, they need to hear it. They need to hear that message, okay? I have run into many people that I've tried to give the message to, and they just want to argue. Have you ever run into that? People love to argue these days. You know what? There's always an argument going on. They're always telling you how wrong you are. And I used to try and argue back, which is like banging your head against the wall because they just keep arguing with you. I stopped the argument. Hold it. What are you arguing about? Don't argue. I have beautiful feet. Don't argue. Here's the truth. If you don't want to accept it, okay. All right. You may plant a little seed there, something in their spirit that later on will flower and God can use. But don't stand and argue, because that's what they want you to do. They want you to just waste time arguing. I stopped the argument. The person you're talking to must hear it. If they're not hearing it, you can end the conversation for that moment. But then try and follow up. Sometimes you get to go back and see that person again. In order for salvation to take root, your message must be credible. It must touch their heart. Okay? They must understand that they are a sinner. And the wages of sin is death. Death. Not only just a physical death, but a spiritual death. If they're not listening, it's not making inroads. And finally, for the last point, those who believe, when you get someone who says, "Oh, I believe," have them call upon the name of Christ, because that is the only name. There is no other name. Jesus the Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, is the only name you can cry out to and get saved. You can't cry out to any other deity. You can't cry out to any other sports figure or movie star or celebrity. None of them are going to save you. Only Jesus can. Only Jesus bridged the gap between sinners and a holy God. Now, Pastor asked me, and I thought about how to do this. He wanted me to let you know where I have been. I've been away from you guys for a couple of weeks. I bet you it's been about, what, maybe 6 weeks? Not counting the picnic, okay? Now, I'm not saying this to put myself on a pedestal, because I started looking around trying to think of pastors out there in the past and you know, that we know here in our time that had beautiful feet, that preached the gospel. And every time I looked for one, the Lord said, "No. Tell them where you've been." And I'm telling you because I want to thank you. You have raised me up. I've been among you many, many years now. You have taught me. Some of you have heard my very first sermons. And as you think back on that, you cringe a little bit. Because I like Beth, she's laughing. I gave turkey dinners instead of a ham sandwich. I gave way too much information. So I'm going to cut short on the sermon a little bit. But I've been in Tulpehockin twice. As a preacher. They needed someone to come in and preach the word. And I got the call. And I said, "Sure, I'll come." And I went. And the message was well received. There was one lady in the audience I was talking about evangelism. And her face kind of went white. She was sitting towards the back row, and I could tell in my spirit, she was like, "No, not me, I'm not going." So then I said about Big E evangelism, and then I looked right at her and I said, "Little E evangelism." Each of us know about 8 people that we could talk to that we know aren't saved. So you don't have to be in front of a whole crowd of people. You can just be one-on-one. So I preached twice at Tulpehockin, and then after that, St. Stephen's called me, well, Pastor Ron called, and said, I really, really need a break. So I went to preach there. I think I have beautiful feet by God's description because I went and preached the gospel there. And I'm looking into the future, and there could be more opportunities. There's a lot of churches in this area, just in this area alone, that don't have a spirit-filled, a blood-washed, a Bible-preaching pastor. They have a liberal, wishy-washy type thing, person that comes in and gives them some kind of a wishy-washy sermon that's supposed to feel good. Well, that's not what all sermons are supposed to do. Sermons are supposed to not only push the pastor, because I have to study for it, but it also is to push you, the congregation, closer to God, closer to beautiful feet. Beautiful feet. Going out and giving the gospel, the good news, unto a lost world. These people are dying. And if you think things are going to get any better, look at our culture. Just look at the presidential gloobaglah that's going on there. Who you're going to vote for? I hate to say it, but we're voting for the lesser of two evils, which makes me sick. Where are the men of God who would raise up, who would stand up and be our leaders? You know, sometimes we get what we deserve, our culture deserves. Maybe not what the Christians deserve. But there's a dying world out there. Take your shoes off and get out there and start walking around looking for people. I got one more example, and then I'm going to let you, we're going to bring this plane to an end. One more little example. I had to go out to work the other night. Up in Palmyra, there's an intersection on Cherry Street that they're trying to fix the sinkholes. Okay, and the pole moved and it tore the wires and there were some people out of power. So we went, and it was kind of dangerous, so I said, let's open the transformer, kill all the secondary power to the people's houses. Okay, we'll fix this real quick, turn the power back on. Right? Turn the power off. I'm standing by the fence where they have the intersection fenced off, and a gentleman comes right out of the house right where I'm working, comes down. He goes, did you turn the power off? I went, yes, I did. I said, why? I said, well, this pole shifted a little bit. We're going to fix this. So he kind of hung there with me. He's talking to me. And I love to talk. So I started talking to him. And to make a long story short, he's another Christian. He's a Christian. He believes in Jesus Christ. He's been having a rough time of it. He can't sell his house because of the sinkhole. Okay. It took him 3 years to even start fixing the sinkhole. So he's worried his basement's going to drop into something where he's going to have a three-story basement. You know what I mean? And he said to me, he said, I don't know why I'm telling you this. I don't even know you, but I have contemplated suicide over all this. Okay? Big door. Whoop! I mean, that's a garage door opening up for me. Big door. I asked him, where do you go to church? He said, of the church here in Lebanon. I said, let me tell you something. You need to call your pastor. You need to get with at least three men in your congregation and have them pray for you, and you pray for them. I said, this is spiritual attack. For a Christian to contemplate suicide is spiritual attack, demonic spiritual attack. You may run into that, and you may be the person to guide them into the right path, thereby saving them from doing something to themselves. That was a divine appointment. God put me right there. God said, I'm going to move that pole a little bit, tear that wire, get David up there, and when that guy comes down, I'm going to have David talk to him. That's how it works. It's called divine appointment. Nothing happens outside his will. There's divine appointments all over the place for each and every one of you. Look for them. Be ready for them. And you won't believe. You won't believe what God will show you. And you won't, I can't explain the euphoria? Euphoria. The happiness in your soul when you get to talk to somebody like that. It's like you're not even walking on your bare feet anymore. You're floating because you're doing the will of God. I have more to this sermon, but I don't have to go any further. Would you rise with me and pray? Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this day that you have created, for this day that you have given us, that we may come and worship you, that we may come and freely read your word out of your Bible. And Holy Spirit, that you have taught us, that you have moved our spirits. We thank you so much for being amongst us. For we truly are standing on holy ground in this area, in this place right here. You all are standing on holy ground. And it's not anything that we have done, Father. It's what you have done amongst us. You have created holy ground because you are here in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, we give you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all the glory, all the honor. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.